down in my heart. Amen. Turn over to 170, if you would. Remember the time when in darkness I wandered on the mountain of sin. I traveled so long like the prodigal son. All my goods I had squandered, but the Savior came in and He gave me a song. Place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. For I know not the how, and I know not the why, but it tell me all about it in the by and by. Let's sing it all. Just a sinner was I, far away from my Savior, with the hope of reward at the end of the way. But the Savior came down and He gave me His favor. Now I'm singing His praise for He saved me that day. Where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. For I know not the how, and I know not the why, but He'll tell me all about it in the by and by. I can never forget when He spoke to me gently in the fountain of life. There's a balm for your soul. So I heeded His voice. He was speaking intently through His marvelous grace. Amen! I am happy and whole. I can tell you time. I can show you the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. For I know not the how, and I know not the why, but He'll tell me all about it. Oh, in the by and by.
Because He first loved us. Right. And before I ever loved Him, He loved me. And before I ever saw Him, He saw me. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad for the seeking ministry of the Lord tonight. He seeks us out. Amen. He told His disciples one time, He said, "You did not choose me, I chose you." Amen. Amen. Now, we're a chosen people. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful. Amen. I don't see why God is going to choose me. Amen. I know my life. Amen. And He knows it too, but yet, amen, He still chose me. He still saved me. Amen. Amen. Now, good to be in God's house tonight. Appreciate Brother Alton and Macedonia being with us.
Amen.
Tonight. The Lord willing, they'll be singing for us in a little while. Good to have Brother Matthew and Bethel with us tonight. I appreciate them for coming tonight.
Amen.
Helping us in our revival. My prayer tonight that God will bless you by coming this way tonight.
Yes. Amen.
If you have any unspoken prayer requests, for uplift of hands tonight. Brother Matthew, would you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Your most kind grace, dear Lord, and your heavenly Father, and we tell you,
let us pray.
upon holy ground. In His presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. And if you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground. Again, we are standing on holy ground, and I know, yes, all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for you are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Hey, that'll be fine, Colin. Joel, just come right on up. Macedonia Choir. We'll turn the fan on here in just a minute. Make yourself at home. The microphone at the piano will be ready to be used. And all they got to do is just push the button up, turn it on.
Oh, is that but for me?
Oh, bless them, Lord.
Thank you. I can tell you of a story when the thousands were fed, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could say of the others, like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what happened to me.
I'm dead in the uttermost, and that's all that I am. Washed in the blood from the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son,
must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. Just trust in the Savior. He'll save you today, and with blessed assurance that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Amen.
my hope. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine.
Joel, is it a verse of chorus, a verse and chorus, or do we do two together? I can't remember. No, did we do a verse and chorus? Okay, that's just
right. As the sun rose that morning, the day of Job's trial, he rose up to serve God as any other day. Bound and determined to live in God's favor, nothing could stand in his way. Then the messengers came one by one with their story. In just a few moments, Job lost all he had. Great wealth and riches, the health of his body, even his children were dead. The Lord to voice her opinion, he said, "You should end it, just curse God and die." Then his wife came before him to voice her opinion. She said, "You should end it, just curse God and die." Job rose from the ashes. He looked toward the heaven. He brushed back the tears from his eyes. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I serve him before, I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you. second one. Okay. Bless.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free.
Scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. His love for mine. Garment and oppressed, I'm loved and accepted, and I wear a robe of righteousness. His life for mine.
His life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's heart was die.
Thank you.
the one y'all sing, I ask you a lot. All in the
Good job, choir. Thank you very much. Let's give the choir a hand, please.
We sing in G, right?
Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Appreciate another opportunity to come and to be in this place. And appreciate all these that are here tonight. It's good to see you. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be with you one more time. And I appreciate these two churches coming and being represented. And it's always good when you get meeting together. When I was a boy, that's what churches did. I was raised going to revivals. My pastor was in revival a lot, Brother Jake Cash, and so we went. Daddy was a song leader. I missed a lot of ball games. And one year I was in Little League, and I made the All-Star. I was going to be the center fielder. I'd never made All-Stars before. I was always the runt of the litter. And I didn't grow till I was in the 10th grade. And I made fun of most of the time. But I made the All-Stars that year. Boy, I was excited. I was going to be on the All-Star team. And Brother Jake had revival coming up. And Daddy said, "I want you to tell your coach that we're going to miss a few nights of practice, that we're going to help Brother Jake." And I didn't want to tell my coach that. I was afraid my starting spot at center field would get took. And I was dreading practice that night. I was dreading having to go tell him that I was going to miss the following week. But I went. Daddy made me tell him, "That's a mean daddy, ain't it?" I mean, that's a mean daddy to make me tell my coach that. But I had to. That's what Daddy told me to do. And so I told him, I said, "Coach Eddie," I said, "I'm going to have," Eddie Mills was his name, I met him. I said, "Coach Eddie, I hate to tell you this," I said, "but I'm going to have to miss practice next week." I said, "My preacher's in revival and we're going. And Daddy wanted me to come tell you." And I kind of flinched a little bit. I thought he might have to smack me or something, but he didn't. He said, "I appreciate that." He said, "I appreciate you telling me that." And he said, "More than that, I appreciate you supporting your pastor." Well, you wouldn't get that today. You wouldn't get that today. But I didn't lose my starting position. I got to start on the All-Star team. And I was so worried about that. But we went to meeting. Our preacher's in a revival meeting. We went. And that's just the way I was raised. And we try to go and help even today. We try to go and support churches when we hear about them. That's another thing. And let me encourage you. Don't feel like you're bragging or anything when you post papers everywhere about revival. Lord, my mom and papa used to put them in their windows in their car and ride around town with it on their car. I remember those days when revival meant something to folks and people would go and help one another. And boy, it's good to see you tonight and here in the house of the Lord. And we appreciate you and appreciate these pastors and preachers that are here, and we need your prayers tonight. As you know, when you get longer in the tooth and you preach a week of revival by yourself, you start getting tired toward midweek. And so, used to it, didn't bother me a bit. I remember one year I had, I think it was 10, maybe 11 revivals in a row, and six of them were day and night, and I preached about every one of them. And it didn't bother me a bit, Brother Alvin. I'd just go ahead and preach them and get ready for the next one. But, well, nowadays it seems like it slows me up a little bit. But I love to go. I do. I still love to go to church. I'm kind of like the psalmist. When he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I like for Sunday to roll around. I do. I get excited about Saturday night about 8 or 9 o'clock, I get to thinking, what will I wear tomorrow to church? I go in there and start putting up. Papa Gene, my great-granddaddy, he always, I'd go over and mow their grass on Saturday afternoons, and he'd say, come in here and help me get these shoes shined. I said, Papa Gene, you ain't going to wear but one pair. He said, I know, but I don't know which one I'm going to wear, so let's shine them all. We'd shine all of Papa Gene's shoes on Saturday night and get ready for Sunday morning meeting. And you know what that taught me? It taught me that Sunday's important. Yeah. That Sunday's precious. That Sunday is the Lord's Day, and we ought to get prepared. You got a lot of people just wait till 9:45 to get ready to go to church. Right. But boy, I'm up by 5 o'clock on Sunday. I want to go to church. I want to make sure I'm ready to go to church when I get to go, thank God. And I'm ready tonight. I've been looking forward to coming. I didn't know y'all was going to be here, but that excited me even more, Brother Alton, when I saw you in the house of the Lord and I got to be in meeting with you again. I got a little bit excited about it. I did. And I'm thankful for that tonight. Boy, it's okay to be excited. It's okay to smile and enjoy church. I thank God one more time. If you ain't enjoying church, you need to check up. There's some things that ain't right in your life if you don't enjoy going. And let me say this. If you don't think that your church is the best church in the whole wide world, you need to quit that church and go find one you can feel that way about. That won't hurt you a bit in this world. You all love your church. You all love your pastor. My mama, listen, my mama Ray, there's a fellow that was talking bad about her preacher, and she said, you shut your mouth. He's the best man of God I've ever had. It wasn't but a year later that fellow left the church, Brother Al. Hey, listen, you know what she said? She said, this one right here is the best one we ever had. Every preacher she got was the best one she ever had. It ought to be that way. Most people say, well, I don't know about that preacher we got. I don't know. Maybe we need to talk about getting rid of him or something like that. Hey, listen, you need to support the man of God. Amen. Thank God that'll help you along the way. It won't hurt you. If you'll help the man of God, God will help you through the man of God. Amen. He will. He'll help you through the man of God. You pray for us tonight. I didn't know I was going to say all that, but I'm not ashamed to say it. And I want to be a help to you tonight. If you have your Bibles and want to read with us, go read out of the book of Judges, the 14th chapter of the book of Judges. We, I was telling Brother Teddy that we was in meeting some 15, 20 years ago down at Ebenezer. And Brother Williams' son got saved that morning, and I got acquainted with him, and I told him, I said, it's kind of like me and you, Brother Teddy. We don't get to see each other very often. I don't get to see them very often, but they got a special place in my heart. And I'm thankful for people that I've got to know over the years. When I was running from God and called to preach, God called me at 16 years old, and I run from Him for 6 years. I run the most miserable time in my life from 16 out of 22. I was miserable. I'd never done a whole lot wrong up until about 16 years old. Then I found myself in some awful places. If I told you a few of them, you'd be ashamed to even be here with me tonight. And I'm not lifting that up. I'm just saying that the Lord brought me out of it. But listen, I thought whenever I would announce my call, I thought all my friends would leave, and I wouldn't have no friends. And you know what? I was right. Most of them did leave. There's a bunch of them that wouldn't have nothing to do with me. They didn't want to hang out no more. They didn't want to call me. They didn't want nothing to do with me. But you know what? God replaced them with better friends. Amen. God gave me some that I believe I could call at any hour and say, I need you help. And I believe they'd be there tonight. I'm thankful to be one of God's people. I'm glad to be on the inside of the city. Inside the gate. Brother, I'm glad. That's what I preached on last night. Those who weren't here, and I just like to rehearse every now and again some of the things I've already said. There's good enough last night. There'll be good enough again tonight. One time I preached the same thing I preached just the week before. I said, hey, it's good enough last week. It's still in the Bible. And it's still good this week. Yeah. Brother, I like it. I do. I like to go to meeting in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to live forever with one another. You may not think I'm too good looking right now, but one day I'll be as pretty as the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Now, he wasn't too pretty while he was down here. The Bible said he was not, he didn't have no beauty about him that we should want him or desire him. That's what it said. But brother, when he come up out of the grave, there's something that changed. Amen and amen. There's a beauty about him that glows. I thank God tonight, and I'm thankful that I'm going to go. One writer said, we don't know what we'll be, but we know when he shall appear. We're going to be like him. Brother, I'm going to shine. Amen. Just like he did. Brother, you listen. Judges chapter number 14. I'm going to read two verses in you here. Verse 5 and verse number 6. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came bodily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father and his mother. He told not his father and his mother what he had done. That's all I feel like reading tonight. But I got a lot of other places I'd like to get to. But you pray that the Lord would just let me get to where I need to. And if I don't need to get to them places, I just pray that I'll follow the trail of the Lord. Amen tonight. Brother, you listen. You know old Samson well. The Bible said that. Whenever his mother was having him, brother, expecting him, that she has given direction that he is to be a Nazarite. Amen. That there was not a razor to come upon his head, and he is not to drink wine nor strong drink. But not only that, the Lord said, I don't want you near that stuff either. Amen. But I will say, is how you young mamas, how you young daddies, how brother, you rehearse the right thing, how brother, in behold of your children, and thank God, listen, you won't have to worry when they get up, how they'll be following it or fighting after it. If you'll stay away from it, it'll help them to stay away from it. And old Samson was given that vow, that not a razor should touch his head, neither should strong drink come near him. Brother, you listen. And here they are, young, and old Samson's looking at a wife, and they're going down together, down to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, the Bible said it was a young lion that roared against him. Amen. Now this wasn't no old lion. Brother, this wasn't no. Listen. Sack of fleas sitting there. With no teeth in his mouth. That wasn't one of them old lions that just laid around and didn't do nothing but swat the fleas off of him. That was a young lion. One that was in the prime of his life. This is a young lion. One that had the strength about him. You know what you'd do if you come across one? Brother, you'd go home and get the best gun you had, the one with the most powerful weapon. You'd get everything you could to get that young lion out of your way. Because a man is no match for a lion. There's no way that a mere man could do anything with a young lion. But here it says, brother, when the young lion showed up, the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. A lot of people think that Samson's hair was his strength. But that ain't what it was. They put wisp in it. They did everything they could to his hair. And brother, he still had his strength. It wasn't the fact that he got his hair cut and he lost his strength. But if you'll read it, every time Samson does some great act, you'll see this phrase. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
We're outside of God. Our Father, He's the only power we got, and He's the only privilege we got. And He says, live, and we live, die, and we die.
Amen.
That wasn't his old hair. Listen, all that was a symbol of his covenant.
Yeah.
Amen. How that was just a symbol of his covenant that his mother had made with God. And he kept that covenant until that day when he woke up from his sleep in the lamp. There that old woman. Woke up from sleep and decided he'd shake himself as he had at other times. How much you know what he noticed? How the Spirit of the Lord was there. Here where the young lion was. And the Bible said that Samson grabbed him and rent him like he would a kid, which is a baby goat, which has tender flesh, which is simple. And Samson's strength was easy to rent a little kid. And that's how he did this young lion.
Amen.
Run, you listen. But what I want to stay around tonight, God being my helper, and run this here in that sixth verse. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And yes, he rent him as he would have rent a little kid. But what stuck with me, what I can't get past tonight, is the fact the Bible said and he had nothing in his hand. Amen. He didn't have nothing in his hand. But I want to preach tonight, God being my helper. I'm being totally dependent on God. Amen. Being totally dependent on God. And you know why so many people in the shape that they're in today? But it's because their dependency is not on God. Paul said over there, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. He said, but our sufficiency is of God. I got my dependency on Him. And if there's anything to be accomplished, it'll be accomplished through God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. You're going to have to get totally independent. I thought about my forefathers, my great-grandparents. I've already mentioned some things about them, but I remember Papa Gene. When he'd get done with his garden in the following year, he'd burn that garden. And after that he'd burn it, he'd go out with an old potato sack. And he'd get down in that potato sack. And he'd take them old ashes. And he'd begin to rub his old bald head. And begin to pray. Now people would go by, and I know they looked at him and thought he was crazy, but he was praying, Lord, bless this ground again. And that next year when we get ready to plant, that this ground is fertile, that this ground is ready, and that this ground is prepared the way you want it to. And bro, you know what? He was dependent that God would be the one that would bring the crop out of that ground. One writer said, and Paul it was and planted, and upon us come along and watered, but it's always God. I said, it's always God. I say it again, it's always God that gives the increase tonight. Amen. That's always God. Well, praise His holy name. It's always God. Thank God tonight. And brother, I didn't know what to expect. And brother, all I know is that when Brother Teddy called me, I'd been waiting on the call. And I'd been expecting to come over here. And you say it don't work like that. Well, it did with me. And brother, I've been waiting for a little while. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know what to expect when I got here. How y'all would receive me or how you wouldn't. But I already prayed and said, God, whether they do or whether they don't, let your name be glorified. Let us praise you. And Lord, let us depend on you today.
Amen.
Amen. I've been preaching now since 1996. And there have been a lot of people. And brother, listen, over the years, I guess I've rubbed them the wrong way or something. I don't know. And brother, but listen, as I told you the other night, but I had to get past all that. Quit worrying who liked me and who didn't. And I had to get to the place where I made sure God liked me. Amen. Old Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, study to show yourself approved under the church house. That ain't what he said. Under the people you go to. No, sir. But he said, you study to show yourself approved unto God. I'm not worried what man thinks about me. My dependency is on him. If I live, it'll be because he said I could. If I preach, it'll be because he said I could tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise his holy name. Thank God I'm dependent on him. I read over there earlier in the book of Judges. There's a fellow over there. And now he had a great army come up against him. And so he numbers his army. I believe he started out with about 32,000, wasn't it? Yeah, little old Gideon. 32,000 men was in his army and in his camp. Yeah. And the Lord said, you got too many. The Midianites already outnumbered them. Even though he had 32,000, they are still 10 to 1. Bigger than him. And the Lord says, you got too many. Lest all of your people think that they should win the battle and that it be by their mind. And so he said, you tell all of them how they are fearful. No, you tell them just to go back home. And the first thing they lost 22,000. Amen. What if that happened at your church? Would you come back the next Sunday? Oh, get it showed up and said, I'll try it with 10,000. That's all he had left. 10,000. And the Lord come back to him and said, Gideon, whoa, Gideon, you got too many. That 10,000 is too many. And yeah, that's what he said. And though not only was it 10 to 1 to start with, now there's about 50 to 1. And the Lord said, you got too many. And he said, carry them down by the brook and watch them drink water. What a plan for battle. Let's watch and see how they drink water. And that's how we'll choose our army. And it sounded like a battle plan that would work. But God ended up choosing 300. And Gideon took them into battle. And they won the victory tonight. Why? I think I read somewhere where that made the odds 500 to 1. Wow. 500 to 1. I may be off on my calculations a little bit. Don't get mad at me if I am. But I read it somewhere where it made it a big number against a little number. Maybe that's safer for me to say, because some of y'all might be some of them that scrutinize preachers and go down the road and say, wait a minute, he said 501 and that wasn't it. Hey man, I'm not worried about whether it's 5. I'm not saying that it's against all odds, but they went on into battle anyway. And against all odds, against anything we can think, against anything we can understand, God said, I'm going to win a battle for you. Amen. Gideon had to be dependent on the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Totally dependent on the Lord. Amen. I remember I've told this a lot of times, but I'll tell it again. I remember I was preaching revival up in LJ and I was working at Cass Middle School there in Cass, Georgia. And I had revival that week. And I got in the car home Monday afternoon and I was headed up to LJ to go to revival, and I realized that I didn't have a lot of gas in the car. I was down below a quarter of a tank. I thought, boy, tonight after meeting, I'm going to have to stop and get some gas. And bro, we broke out in meeting. We didn't get out till 1 o'clock. I mean, boy, there was a shout all over the house. They had several get saved, several redeemed. First night of revival, they're having revival. Hey, you go to revival now, and folks sit there and say, bless me if you can, move me if you will. And if the preacher don't get excited, I ain't either. Hey, sometimes Can you accept? Sometimes I'm in your hell.
Yes, sir.
I forgot all about my gas. I got up Tuesday morning, went to work, drove back home Tuesday afternoon, went back to L&J that night, drove back home, went to work Wednesday, amen, Thursday, Friday, and we had Saturday night meeting. About Saturday night, I was headed home, and I said, oh, I need to give me some gas. And I looked, and the hand had not moved. All week, you say, preacher, you're lying. Oh, that happened to me. You know what happened? I forgot about myself for just a little while and got totally dependent on God, and He took care of the man.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you another one. I went to the Sears and Roebuck. I was there in Rome, Georgia one day. Had to get my oil changed. And they lifted up my car and I went on in to shop a little while. And they called me directly and said, Mr. Carr needs you to come back over here. And Kelly hadn't been married long. I went back in there and said, what's the problem? I said, you got wires showing on your tires. I said, well, just change one of them. They said, no, you don't understand. There's wires on all four of them. You've run these things in the ground. I said, well, I can't pay for no tires. And said, you got any credit? I said, I've never had any. And they said, well, if you don't get a credit card, we'll let you put them on you today. I said, okay.
Bless you, Lord.
They put four new tires on there. And I got a call from a fella. He said, Brother Josh, I said, what? Appreciate if you'd help me in revival. I said, well, yeah, I wasn't thinking about them tires or nothing else. I said, sure, I'll help you. I went all the way up there. I went the week of revival, got done, they give me a little old love offering. But I got that love offering and I started shouting. 10 cents was the difference between what cost my tires was and that love offering check. Don't you tell me that depending on God don't work. Depend on Him. Yeah, it'll work. I thank God. What did the psalmist say about trusting in the Lord? Amen. He said, and be like Mount Zion. Amen. That shall never be removed. If you'll trust in the Lord, I've got news for you. The young lions can't move you out of the pathway if you'll just be dependent on God tonight. And the young lion roared against him. You may have some young lions roaring against you tonight. Some things you ain't never faced before. I tell my church a lot of time, I said, don't look at them teenagers and tell them that their problems ain't nothing just because you've already overcome them. At that time, it's the biggest thing that they've ever accomplished. Hey, man, and listen, the reason your parents look at you and the problems you got and they think yours ain't nothing is because they've already come through it. So on both sides, we need to understand each other. And mamas and daddies, remember what it was when you was going through that trial. And it's not saying it ain't nothing. Say, I understand. I've been there. Let me help you. And young person, let me help you tonight.
Amen.
They'll help you. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Bless you, Lord.
Listen.
Bless you.
Over in where is it? Over in the Chronicles, I think it is. Over in the Chronicles, I get these names all mixed up. And I ain't going to read the whole thing to you. How about you go over sometime in the 2 Chronicles and read the 20th chapter. And you'll find this out about an old Jehoshaphat. Amen. Old Jehoshaphat was a good king. And the Bible talks about him there. And about the things he was going through. And the fact that there was a great company of people that was coming up against him. And listen, the Bible said here in the 15th verse, and he said, hearken ye all all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, this was the man of God that the Spirit of God was upon speaking. He said, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Amen. I've done you listen. They went down, there was three armies. I believe it was against them, and they didn't know exactly which way to go. But the Lord won the battle for them. They didn't ever have to pick up a spear. But what led me to that was the fact that the Bible said that Samson didn't have nothing in his hand. He didn't have no staff or no spear. And slay that young lion. Gideon didn't have no great nothing. How to overcome the man, how the enemy. But all he had was the Lord. And the Lord is enough tonight. I know I'm slower than I was Sunday night, but that's okay. Listen, the Bible said that Joseph's brothers got jealous of him and they sold him into slavery. You know the story, how that he went through Potiphar's house and all that. I won't rehearse all of it, but there was Joseph. I don't ever see him complaining to you. And everything he put his hand to, God bless. Amen. You'll say, preacher, I just can't walk around with a positive attitude. If you get right with God, you can. Amen, that's right. If you get dependent, hey, quit trying to fix it yourself. Quit trying to hold on to it yourself. You can't win it. It's the Lord's battle. Let Him handle it. He's the best at it anyway. And not only that, He wants to tonight. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'll never forget Sister Eloise Taylor down at New Harley Baptist Church. She was our pianist while I was there. She's done got older now and can't play as she did. She's not their pianist anymore, but she still attends there. But Sister Eloise had something on her, and she told me, I can't remember if it was 15 or 20 years, she had just been carrying this burden. Her children was out on drugs and doing all kinds of things. I've done one Sunday morning, I got done preaching, here comes Sister Eloise off of the piano, got down in the altar. But we got down around her, started praying. In a minute, she wasn't praying, she was a shouting. She got up, she was shouting. And this is what she was saying. I got it over on him. I got it over on him. Amen. When she finally settled down and testified, she said, I've been trying for years to carry this load, and I realized this morning I couldn't. And I finally gave it over to the Lord. And whatever happens to my children, the Lord's in control of it. She walked out of there. Little spring in her step. That's the way most people leave most Baptist churches I've been affiliated with. Good job, preacher. That's pretty good preaching, preacher. Lips still pushed out, about to step on it. Shoulders still down. Hey, I'm a child of the King. Amen. I've been bought with a price. Listen, not things of this world, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm one of His. I'm no better than anybody else. But I can claim that I am royalty tonight.
Amen.
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 Amen. Totally dependent on the Lord. I thought I'd get to Sennacherib, and I thought I'd get to Daniel, but I feel like I'm about done. Totally dependent on God. I will say this about them three Hebrew children. I've said this before. When they got thrown into the fiery furnace and they come out, they went in bound, but they came out loose.
Yes.
And when they come out loose, the Bible said, well, they didn't even have a smell of smoke on them. I've said this a lot of times. I go into the BP station to try to pay for my gas. Somebody in there smoking a cigarette. I come out and smell like I smoked a pack myself.
Yeah.
My wife will say, shoo, you stink. I say, I'm sorry. I just went in to pay for my gas. Them old boys was in the middle of that furnace. They come out and didn't have the smell of smoke. I'm telling you, the world can't harm us, and the world can't touch us, and the world cannot do anything with you if you are totally dependent on God tonight. And we need to get back to old time ways and depend on God for every need, and to trust Him, and not lean on our own understanding, but in our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our path.
Amen.
I'm going to finish with this. Come on, get a verse of song. There's an old black preacher. One of the little girls of his church. A little 3 or 4 or 5 year old girl. I can't remember how old. Wanted to quote her verse to the church. He said, come on, baby. Gave her the microphone and she said, the Lord is my shepherd and that's all I want.
Amen.
Some of the old ones said, she didn't quote that just right. He said, you leave her alone. She got it just right. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. And I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He said, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And this is one of my favorite parts of the whole psalm. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And that little black girl said, and that's all that I want. Amen. Quit wanting so much else, people. Quit looking for so much else, people. Focus your attention on God and His love and darling Son, Jesus Christ. And get totally dependent on Him tonight. Stand with us if you would, if you need to come for any reason tonight. I would to God that
550, bottom of the page, Songs of Faith.
Come on tonight. It'd be good to let go of some things tonight. Just be dependent on God.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Savior, hear my call.
we've already prayed, but somebody's in trouble tonight. Somebody needs the Lord. I don't know in what aspect, but I feel in my heart somebody really needs to pray. Listen, I want you to know it don't matter what kind of line's in front of you. God can help you. Hey man, he may be the most ferocious thing you've ever seen. And he may be roaring at you all the time. I could tell you of a time when I was away from the Lord and there was darkness that was surrounding me in the place that I was at. And I began to hear this voice. I'm telling you, it scared me to death. But then all of a sudden, there was something on the inside of me said, just trust me, just trust me. I was saved, but I was away from God. And I mean, I felt evil presence around me, but I had a peace on the inside. You know what I did? I went to the house and I found a place to pray. I had to get rid of that darkness that was around me. I can't say that I stayed on the straight and narrow. Right after that, I still swayed here and there. But brother, God never forgot about me. He kept sending the word by and the spirit by. Let me know he can handle all of my problems. If I just depend on me. Just depend on me. Listen, tonight it'd be real easy for you. I'll never forget what it took. Watch me, watch me. Look, I took one step in the direction of God. That's all it took. I started out this week by giving the church here the remedy for revival. I found it in the Word of God. If you want to have revival, everybody says a preacher can't bring revival with him, but I do. I carry it where I go. And I share it everywhere I go. The Lord gave it to me a few years ago. I tell everybody, here it is, I found it. If you want revival, I found it right here in the Word of God. He said, draw nigh to me. Watch.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's right.
Watch. That's drawing nigh. That's nearer than he was. Just one step closer. And he said he'd come to you. Hey, man. I believe when that little prodigal son topped that hill, that daddy took off. Saw that first step towards home and run to him. And everybody said, well, he went to go find the road. And he went to go find. That ain't the way I read it. The Bible said he turned to his servant and he said, hand me the robe. He already had it prepared. What you need tonight is the Lord, thank God. He's got what you need.
Amen.
He'll put it on.
Yes.
I don't see where that boy went and watched the stink of the swine on.
No.
I don't see where he had to go down and get soap and water and wash it off. But I do see where the daddy took that old rope and put it over that old field and it curved it off. Wow! Thank God, aren't you glad tonight that God will take you just the way you are.
Amen.
And he'll help you where you're at. Right. And he'll deliver you if you will depend on him.
That's right. Amen.
Let's sing another verse. Come on. Come on.
Trusting only in thy name. Come on.
Churches I go to, they wait for everything to get right before they start shouting. It's almost as if all the walls have got to fall before they can even find us now. But God's people are supposed to have to shout all the time. Hey, man. Maybe your mama was a shouter. Maybe your daddy was. Maybe they wasn't. Maybe you're the first generation churchgoer in your family. It don't matter where you come from, who you are, or what you face. God will give you a shout. It may not be a verbal shout. Two old men that I'll never forget in my childhood church. My Uncle Joe Hazelwood was a shouter. He'd get happy. He'd say, "Whoop, glory! Whoop, glory!" That's how he shouted. And his prayer was, he is a faithful man of God. His prayer was that he could die in church. That's what he told everybody. Boy, I'd love to just die in church. One night we was having communion and foot washing. My daddy had got down. Uncle Joe had been sitting with his heart in the hospital. And the doctor said, "Don't you get happy at church now and raise your hands. Your heart can't take it." Daddy got down to wash Uncle Joe's feet. I was sitting over here and they're sitting right there. You could hear him bubbling, giggling. And all of a sudden, whoop, glory! Threw them hands up as high as they could go. Laid over on the bench, left this world while Daddy was washing his feet. That was his prayer. You don't think the Lord hears you and answers you? There's another gentleman, an older gentleman there in the church. Brother Charlie Godfrey, he is a big old man, a large man. He is an old farmer. Had big old puffy hands. That's what I remember about him. Them old big puffy hands. They'd ask Brother Charlie, said, "Brother Charlie, would you dismiss us in prayer?" He'd say, "Excuse me." He didn't talk in church. He He didn't say a lot to nobody. He was a big old quiet. He told his wife, though, years earlier, he said, "Boy, I've worked in this yard and this farm for years." He said, "I sure would like to pass on out here in this field where I've worked all these years." His shout was a little different than Uncle Joe's. He didn't get loud. But the Spirit of God had moved upon him in big old rivers. He had big old creases in his face where he'd been out in the sun all them years. Big old crevices. And it looked like rivers that was running when he'd get happy. He just sat there shaking his head. I can see him now. Just shake his head. Big old tears coming out of his eyes. One day his wife got to miss him. She went out to the garden. There he was, laid over in the garden. God had heard and answered his prayer. One was a loud shouter. The other was a quiet one. But they both had a shout. And they both made an impression in my life. They both meant something to me. What do you think about them, preacher? I believe they depended totally on God. Both of them. I want to tell you something. You that come to the altar, maybe you that haven't but need to, we're going to sing another verse, give you another chance. I'm not telling you you're going to walk out of here and you're going to do everything right. I'm not going to tell you that. Because the Apostle Paul himself said, "The things I hate, I find myself doing. And the things that I would do, I do not." He said, "I find in a law that is always present. That when I would do good, evil is present." So the Apostle Paul, that wrote most of the New Testament, he even had struggles. I'm not telling you you're going to go out here and just struggle all the time, but I want you to know you ain't going to be perfect. But you got a God that is. And one writer said, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not." Which means there's a time and opportunity in your life that you don't have to sin. I went 4 or 5 hours without sinning. I went 1 or 2 days without sinning. There's times in my life where I was so close to God, I didn't even see sin nowhere around. It can be done. He said, "I write unto you that you sin not." He said, "But if you do, you got an advocate with the Father. You got somebody that's perfect you can go to. And He'll take care of that sin." Amen. I ain't going to tell you that you ain't going to still have the hang-ups that you have. I'll just share this. I hadn't smoked a cigarette in 30 years. But I smoked them in college. I got done playing basketball. And I just went the wrong way. I quit playing college basketball. Boy, I went the wrong way. And I started smoking them cigarettes, and I got hooked on them. And I was smoking them one after the other. Boy, for about 2 years, I was smoking them straight. That's been about 30 years ago, and I ain't had one. But there's times, certain times, or that thing, I'll smell it or be around or something and it'll grab me. And I think, and I'm just being honest before you tonight because I want you to know the truth. It still has a hold on me. And I ain't had one in 30 years. Don't tell me that they ain't got addiction to them. Don't tell me. I'm not telling you smoking cigarettes wrong. I'm just saying anything that keeps me, anything that keeps me from being dependent on God, it's wrong for Josh Cowan. And I'll leave it at that. I want to be dependent on Him. Totally.
Yes, sir.
I got 2 months. I can't share it all with you, but I love it. I want to say one more verse. Again, listen. You walk out of here the same way you come. Burning down. Carrying stuff you wasn't meant to carry. Did you know you wasn't supposed to carry the burden? Did you know that? Nowhere in the Scriptures will you ever find where it says that by yourself you're to carry the burden. Nowhere will you find that. And I see where the Lord said, come unto me all ye that are what? And I will what? Give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me. Why? He said, for it's easy. And my burden is light. When does a burden get light? When you let him carry it. Amen. That's what it wants to do. Cast all of your care on him. And quit holding on to him. Sister Eloise got up from that altar and said, I got it on him. I got it on him. I'm done caring now. You say, whatever happened with that preacher and her children? Well, her son come first, got right with God, became our choir leader. Daughter came next, started playing the piano, and me and my wife sung with her. We had a little old trio. The other daughter come and brought her daughter that was strung out on drugs, and she got saved in the revival that Brother Raymond Cook was helping me in. I was telling y'all about the other night. She was one of them 13 or 14 that got saved that week. On drugs, just prior to that. The day before, probably was strung out. But she met the Master. Yeah. Woman, but have me a run. You believe in all that stuff? You better believe it. I wouldn't come here tonight if I didn't believe it. I believe it. I've seen it. I've experienced it. One more verse tonight. I normally don't do this. I'm just honest with you. But I believe somebody else needs to pray. But as far as my part goes, and I want you to know, after this verse, I'm done. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Teddy. But you come while God is dealing with your heart tonight. Go ahead, brother.
Amazing grace.
Thank you. you'll know. I believe as soon as, amen, as that call goes out, the Holy Ghost begins to strive.
Yeah, bless your heart,
amen,
Teddy.
Amen, in the hearts of the ones that Jesus is calling. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. He strove with me, is what I got to say. I didn't have to be like Samuel and run, amen, to leave. Amen. No, amen to God. I knew his voice as soon as I heard it tonight. I believe someone else has heard that voice tonight.
Thank you.